Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 118, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. My name is Stephen Fenech. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we've just returned from London where we attended the Lenovo Yoga tablet and convertible launch event. We're also going to chat about Apple's event that's coming up later this week, likely to announce new iPads. And we're also going to chat about Ford's MyKey technology, which is expanding to even more vehicles in the range. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to also talk about the Bose QC25 noise-canceling headphones and also run our eye over HTC's new Desire i smartphone, and we'll bring it home with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. A lot to get to through on the show. Let's jump straight in. Well, Apple has confirmed they are holding yet another launch event. It was only about a month since the previous event where they announced the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6 Plus, and gave the world its very first view of its new Apple Watch. Well, this time out, the launch is going to be on October the 16th, which is early October 17 Australian time. And we're expecting it'll be, obviously, to announce the updates of the new iPad and iPad Mini. Possibly maybe even some iMac announcements, maybe even an Apple TV announcement. But the main focus, we think, is going to be around the iPad. Now, the iPad Air was only introduced a year ago. What we expect to see this year is perhaps the introduction of the Touch ID, the fingerprint sensor, to both the iPad and the iPad Mini with Retina display. They should both get the fingerprint reader. But there are a few rumbles, though, around that we may see an even larger iPad. People are talking about, reportedly, rumors of a 12-inch iPad that may be heading our way. From the rumors that we've heard and the reports that we're seeing, that probably won't be out till next year. But knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. They could pull the new iPad, a larger iPad, introduce that this week at this week's event. Now, you've got to remember, last year, they introduced the iPad Air. Now, there's every possibility that this larger iPad, if and when it is released, but if it is released this year, I think it's a good bet it may be called the iPad Pro. A lot of companies releasing larger tablets. We're going to talk about Lenovo's new range in a moment, but Apple are heavily rumored to be joining the ranks to release that larger tablet. I think that it would be a popular device. They did show that they're willing to go big with the new iPhones, the iPhone 6, 4.7-inch screen, and the iPhone 6 Plus, a whopping 5.5 inches. And that's coming from the previously largest phone, which was the iPhone 5S at 4 inches. So Apple not afraid to go big when it comes to new devices in the iPhone range. Whether they show the same tendency, the move right there with the iPad to go larger is yet to be seen. Now, the event is going to take place October 17 at 10 a.m. in the U.S. It's a much smaller event than the iPhone event, which was held in Cupertino. This is going to be held at Apple HQ in their town hall on the campus. Much smaller event, as I mentioned. 10 a.m. October 16, which is 4 a.m. October 17 Sydney time. That's daylight savings time. There will be a live streaming of the event, so we'll be following it live as well. We'll be reporting on Tech Guide all the latest developments, and whatever comes our way, we'll be reporting them on Tech Guide. Now, the new iPads may not be the only, will probably not be the only thing they announce. There's also talk that we'll be having an official announcement of the availability of the new Mac operating system, OS X Yosemite. And also rumours that Apple will also introduce new iMac computers with Retina display. So the really high-resolution screens we've seen on the iPhones and the iPad and iPad Mini may well be introduced to the iMac. But time will tell on that one. It's hard to say. Apple, a very hard company to predict. Hasn't been many rumours about the new iPads, apart from the fact that the Touch ID sensors are coming on board under the home button there. But we'll find out everything on October the 17th at 4 a.m. That's Sydney time. So keep an eye on Tech Guide. I've written a small story on what we might expect to see. You can read that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, as I mentioned, we've only just returned from London, where Lenovo introduced its new Yoga range. Now, this event was a global event. It was quite large. They took over the London Sorting Office, which was the old post office, a large venue where they had a lot of people in attendance. This event really marked a real push into the consumer space for Lenovo. Lenovo is traditionally a company associated with enterprise and businesses and corporations, but this was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. And what they did, they unveiled their new range of Yoga multi-mode devices. There were two new tablets as well as a new Ultrabook convertible. So it's not only a laptop, it's also a tablet as well. And beaming in live from Los Angeles was Lenovo's product engineer / Hollywood actor, Ashton Kutcher, who I think is trying to become the new Steve Jobs in the way he was presenting, use a lot of the same phrasing and excitement as the former Apple CEO, the late Steve Jobs, in introducing these new products. It was interesting to see him on the large screen all the way from Los Angeles taking us through these new devices. Now, there are three main devices in the range. There's the Yoga Tablet 2, the Yoga Tablet 2 Pro, and the Yoga 3 Pro. We'll go through them quickly right now. The Yoga Tablet 2 is going to be available in 8 inches and 10 inches. Now, the Yoga range has a slightly different design than all the other Android devices on the market. There's a handle, if you like, on one side of the screen that also contains the battery, which runs for up to 18 hours. But also from that area, there is a small frame. So there are different modes that can be used with the tablet. So whether you want to hold it, whether you want to stand it up, there's even a new mode where you can hang the tablet from a hook if you want to. So it does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device. Now, the Yoga 2 tablet is going to be available in 8 inches and 10 inches and also in Android and Windows versions as well. That's going to be a popular device. The first Yoga tablet was introduced a year ago. The reason it's called Yoga, by the way, is because you can turn them on their head and they're quite flexible. So it's similar sort of thing that you do if you are going to a yoga class. You need to show that kind of flexibility. So hence Lenovo coined those names. Moving on to the Yoga Tablet 2 Pro. Now, this has really included a fair bit of innovation. What's contained on here is a 13-inch screen, 13.3-inch screen, so much larger than the Yoga, the Tablet 2. So the Tablet 2 Pro, 13.3-inch screen to be precise. It too has the same construction with the handle, with the stand, and that battery running down the side of the device. And that can be used to prop the device up. So if you want to type, or if you want to use it to the stand to pop out the back so that it can sit up comfortably so you can watch content, you can also do that as well. But the biggest inclusion to the Yoga Tablet 2 Pro is a projector. Now, you remember that's the round handle that runs down the one side of the screen. Well, shooting out of one end of that is a Pico projector. So whatever's showing on the screen, you can now aim it from a distance of 2 meters. You can create an image of about 50 inches. So if you want to take your content from beyond the display, that then the projector does come into play. If you check out Tech Guide, I had a hands-on look at the device beaming the image from the screen onto a wall. So if you want to watch a movie, you just position the Tablet 2 Pro And you can watch that up to 50 inches from a distance of 2 meters. So you don't need far to project a decent size image. And because of that stand, because of the shape of the device, it's easy to put the Tablet 2 Pro on a table or a coffee table and aim that projector towards the wall. So your content has now gone beyond the screen and gone up on a wall. We tried it in our hands-on. We went to YouTube, found a HD video, and beamed it on the wall. It was surprisingly sharp. It was a pretty good result. On the audio side, there is JBL speakers, including a subwoofer. So both sound and vision catered for quite nicely here. And the Yoga Tablet 2 also has that handle, which also has hang mode. There's a picture of it hanging from a hook. So really easy if you want to position the tablet. It does really allow itself to for the user to adapt it to themselves rather than the other way around. Rather than having to adapt to another product, the product can adapt to the user, which is pretty cool. And lastly, the Yoga Pro 3. A very impressive device. This is a, at first glance, looks like an ultrabook, and it has a 13.3-inch screen in the closed position. It's quite thin. It's only 12.8 millimeters thick when it's closed, but when you open it up, you get the full 13.3-inch screen, full keyboard. The display has a 3200 by 1800 resolution. The Yoga Tablet 2 Pro has a 2560 by 1440 resolution, which is still respectable. But the Pro 3 takes it up even further. It's got a quad HD display. And it can be folded out flat. The unique part of the Yoga Pro 3 convertible is the hinge. Now, when you first look at it, it reminds me of a watch band. So it can position the device either flat or at any angle you want. You can even turn the screen back on itself so that you can use the Yoga Pro 3 in tablet mode. So you can just use the touchscreen. Say you want to read a book or enjoy some content, then you can do that as well. The Yoga Pro 3 is available in three different colors. It's running Windows 8.1. And as I said, can be used as a laptop, can be used as a tablet, can even be used in tent mode if you want to just position the screen so you can enjoy some content on the fly. The Yoga Pro 3 is quite flexible enough to do that. Now, in terms of pricing, I think the Yoga Pro 3 starts at $2,099. The Yoga Tablet 2 will be priced at $399. The Yoga Tablet 2 Pro. With the 13.3-inch screen and the built-in projector, that's really one to keep an eye out for. The Yoga 3 Pro, that's going to have that. That's with the 13.3-inch screen. It's both an ultrabook and a tablet. That watch band hinge made out of more than 800 pieces of aluminium and steel, that's going to be priced from $2,099. If you want to check out my story about all those Lenovo products from that launch, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, last year, Ford introduced a new technology called MyKey. Ford really at the forefront of expanding technology for the in-car experience, and MyKey is one of those technologies that's really appealing, especially to parents. Now, MyKey allows the owner of the car to set speed limits and also to create audio limits in the car. So say you're a parent and you're concerned for your young drivers who may be driving the car, MyKey allows you to create a profile and you can set a maximum speed. So you can reduce the top speed down, say, from 140 to 100. You can also reduce the audio volume of the car too so that it can't be played above a certain volume level. Another advantage of MyKey is the fact that the audio system won't work until the front seat belts are attached. So once the driver and the passenger in the front seats put on their seat belts, then the audio system will work. Now, this technology comes at a time when NRMA has released some new research. It's actually some alarming research about young driver behavior. The study said that 61% of parents were concerned about their children being distracted. And the funny thing is that 40% of young drivers agreed. They admitted to being distracted while driving. So any of this new technology that can reduce that sort of distraction, reduce the danger, is certainly welcome. The second most risky behavior after distraction was exceeding the speed limit. So being able to reduce the speed with MyKey is a real plus here. Young drivers, according to the research, are 2.5 times more likely to be killed in a crash than any other age group. This is according to the Center for Accident Research and Road Safety. So anything that you can help increase the safety factor of the car, in this case MyKey, most certainly will be welcomed. It's going to be rolled out to the new Mondeo range of Ford vehicles, as well as the new Mustang. These are the 2015 range. So it's come along at the right time. MyKey's been very well received by Ford customers. 72% of parents said they feel better knowing their children were safer when driving. And the funny thing is that young drivers also welcomed MyKey. You'd think that they'd resist it, but no. 90% said they'd be open to their parents helping them purchase a car with MyKey on board. So all round, I think that'd be a good result. Parents are feeling a little bit more peace of mind when their young children, their teenage drivers are in the car, and young drivers also, with the reduced speed limit, having to fasten the seatbelt to make the audio system work, maximum volume on the audio system, these all lead to higher safety levels within the car, something that that everybody welcomes, and Ford, of course, expanding it throughout the range. If you want to read more about that story, you know where to find it, techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Now, you can get Netgear's Nighthawk X6. That's the world's first tri-band router. And it's got the tri-band router. It allows more wireless devices than ever before. Now, you think of your own house. Has it got 5, 10, maybe even 20 devices? But if they aren't performing as fast as they can, you know, whether they're streaming or gaming or updating, it could be because your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, the latest router from Netgear eliminates this problem, no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Now, kicking off the Tech Guide review today are the Bose QC25. That's short for Quiet Comfort 25 noise-canceling headphones. Now, nobody does it quite like Bose. They really have excellent noise-canceling, excellent audio quality, and the QC25s are no exception. Now, these are replacing the popular QC15 range, and they've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out. On the outside, the makeover is quite obvious. It's got a sleeker look, actually a slightly smaller and more compact. It does fit the headphones a little bit closer to your head, a bit tighter to your head, but it does maintain that comfort. And the reason it does that, it uses these great materials like suede-like material on the headband, nice soft leather material on the ear cups, so it's comfortable whether you're using it for on a 14-hour flight or just on the train. These can be used. The ear cups can even rotate a bit further, so they're more comfortable to fit on your head and even easier to pack away. They even pack away into a smaller, hard case. But it's all about the noise cancellation and how it does this. It allows, there are dual microphones on board, not dual microphones, several microphones inside and outside of the ear cups. So it can detect that ambient noise and then generate that reverse signal to cancel it out. Now, this comes from Bose's, their proprietary technology, triport technology, that allows this to happen. It's excellent noise cancellation. When you flick the switch, it's on the right-hand ear cup. It sounds like it's like the sound's being sucked out of the room. It's quite impressive. So that really, really delivers. But don't forget, at the same time it's introducing the noise cancellation, it's also providing excellent audio quality. Now, they've got the triport technology, the active equalizer as well on board. These all combine to create this all great audio experience. Great high level, mid level, and bass levels here. So your music is not going to sound any better. The QC25s are powered by one AAA battery that provides up to 35 hours of performance. And if the battery does die, you can still listen to the headphones through the cable. You just won't have the active equalizer and the noise cancellation, but you can still hear your music at pretty decent quality. They also come in a small carry case, as I mentioned, and they've also they're priced at $399. And you want to read my full review? They're available in black or white for the first time. They've given some color choices here. But if you want to read my full review of the Bose Quiet Comfort 25 noise-canceling headphones and check out the rating that I gave them out of 5 stars, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, the other event that was happening while I was at the Lenovo event in London, there was also an event at the same time across the other side of the world in New York. And that was HTC unveiling a couple of new products. One is a selfie smartphone, and the other is a standalone camera. Now, the selfie smartphone is called the Desire Eye. Now, what it has a 13-megapixel camera on the rear, as well as a 13-megapixel camera on the front, including flash. So basically, you're getting the same camera front and back. So for those who really love taking their selfies and want to take them in better quality than ever before, the Desire Eye is the phone for you. Now, it's got a 5.2-inch screen, 2 gig of RAM, quad-core 2.3 gigahertz processor, 16 gig of memory, and expandable microSD card slot, and, of course, those dual 13-megapixel cameras. It's also waterproof. It's got an IPX7 rating and can go up to a meter underwater for up to 30 minutes. Now, HTC introduced the One M8 earlier this year, that all-metal construction. It is an excellent smartphone. The Desire Eye, though, is aimed at those people who want a highly spec'd phone but with a camera on the front that's going to give them as good a picture front or back. So whether it's a photo of themselves or the landmark they happen to be standing with or the people they happen to be with, or a photo they want to take out of the rear camera of a scene or whatever they want to do, the result is going to be the same. Both high-quality cameras, front and back, identical. The event was called the Double Exposure Event. So it's a couple of meanings there, the two cameras on the HTC Desire Eye, double exposure. But it could also describe the fact that they also released another camera. And this was called the RE. It's spelt, and this is a standalone camera. It looks like a little periscope, this device. So it can shoot up to 16 megapixel pictures and high definition video. Only two buttons on the device, larger one on the back can capture your images. A longer press will start your video. The front one also does some slow motion capture as well. There's a little tripod mount on the bottom. So this is for someone who doesn't want to use their smartphone in that situation. They just want to use a dedicated camera. It's also waterproof, so you can take it out and about and attach it to various things or just capture the video that you want. We're a little puzzled. We're thinking, well, if you do want to capture high-quality video, there's your smartphone that can do it. Now with the HTC Desire Eye, it's got two cameras that can actually capture it. But HTC decided that they were going to release a standalone product. Now, in terms of pricing, really hasn't been revealed at the moment, but it will be available in a couple of months. And I'm interested to see, though, the markets these are going to find. I think the Desire Eye, that'll find a huge market there. A lot of people love taking their selfies and want them taken at a quality that they've never been captured at before. But the Desire RE, whatever, however you pronounce that, that'll also be out in a couple of months. I'll be keen to see. That's also available in a few colours, so it's a pretty fun little product. I can't imagine it costing too much, but I'm just interested to see what sort of customer's going to want to buy that. I think it's someone who wants just a dedicated camera. Not many of those around, I didn't think, but HTC have obviously got other ideas there. If you want to check out those products and see what they look like and read about their features, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Okay, the Tech Guide Help Desk is to do with a feature on iOS 8. Now, for those who have updated to iOS 8, they may have noticed a feature that allows them to answer calls on a Wi-Fi device that's signed into the same account. Now, say, for example, there's a husband and wife who've both got iOS 8. Both devices are on Wi-Fi. Phone comes in on one of the devices. What's the other device going to do on iOS 8? It's also going to ring. It's going to pick up that call through the Wi-Fi of the other device. I know at home, whenever I receive a call on my iPhone, my iPad, which is signed into the same account, also rings. So I'd be able to answer that call on the iPad as well if I wish. Now, for some people, and I've had a couple of phone calls, and I've had a couple of people write to me. This is a feature that they desperately want to get rid of because they don't want to have to answer each other's calls. But there's a very simple solution around this. Now, it's nothing to blame for an iOS 8. It's just an added feature if you want to use it. I think it's aimed more at someone who's got an iPhone and an iPad signed into the same account. But there are several families who have their own one Apple ID and several devices are using it. And this is the reason why in iOS 8 with this Wi-Fi calling mode, that's the reason why all these other devices are ringing. Very simple solution. You need to have a different account signed into the different device if you don't want to receive that piggyback call on Wi-Fi. So if you're a husband and wife, best thing to do, one of you needs to get a new Apple ID, back up your phone, make sure that you've got to get connected to iTunes or to iCloud, back up your content, create a new Apple ID, get on the website, you can do that. And then once you've got that, sign in to your device with that new ID. Everything's back to normal. All your content's still there. You're not going to lose your photos. You're not going to lose your apps. But you're not going to have to receive the calls from that other companion device because you're now on a different Apple ID. So one to keep an eye out for. If you've updated iOS 8 and you are running more than one device on the same account, same Apple ID, then it's really worth changing that Apple ID so that you're not getting annoyed by those other calls. If you want to check out my hidden features of iOS 8 story, I've written a couple of stories on Tech Guide. Plenty of features that Apple won't tell you about, but we've discovered and written about on Tech Guide. You can check that out at techguide.com.au. And that's the end of another show. Thanks for joining in. Anything we've spoken about on the Tech Guide show, you can read at our website, techguide.com.au. We'd love to hear from you too. So send us an email, info@techguide.com.au, or jump in on the forum. You can pose your question on the forum, and either myself or one of my readers will help you get to the bottom of your problem. You may need an opinion on a device, or you may have an issue. We'll do our level best to help you. Special thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. If you want to get the latest Wi-Fi products, the brand to go for there is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure having your company once again. But until next week, stay safe and stay connected.